This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shows are up hot and fresh here on the fans. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you on a Thursday leading up to the 4th of July weekend. Here in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to do our own little top five list. Again, Tim will do one tomorrow at 4 o'clock with Dan Plucker like we always do on Fridays. The question on the table here is top five quarterbacks in Packers history. Now, I will be honest with you. I don't think I've ever been on this website that Gary found this on. But clearly, they have a ton of information. If you're looking for stuff, it seems to be a pretty good website. It's called OTHWisconsin.com. OTHWisconsin.com. On here, they have the top five greatest Packer quarterbacks. Now, this was written in January of 2020. So how did you find this, Gary?
I have no idea.
Okay, then.
But we found it.
Okay, so here is the top five list that they have. Number five, Don Majkowski. Number four, Arnie Herber. Nobody heard of him, probably. Number three, Brett Favre. Number two, Bart Starr. And number one, Aaron Rodgers. That is the top five list made by this website, OTHWisconsin.com. Top five quarterbacks in Packers history. Who are your top five quarterbacks in Packers history? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I guess we'll start with you, Gary Ellerson.
Well, Steve, does Plucker have a list or no?
No,
I have no idea. Go ahead,
tell
Gary.
Tell Plucker just to get one together, and he can't have Matthew Stafford on there, okay?
He doesn't know about Andy. Gary, that means Gary, that's completely unfair. Plucker hasn't watched that much Packer football to know about Packer history.
Everybody knows Packer history, Steve.
It's a benefit if you got Jay Cutler on there.
I
think it would be funnier to have him line up the top five Lions quarterbacks in history to match him up against our top five Packers.
The Lions have five quarterbacks?
Okay. Yeah, try that. Plucker. I like that.
He's not listening. Anyhow. So
wave the planes at him.
That's all right. We'll get him eventually. He can put that list together. He's down. He's talking to somebody on the phone.
All right, go
ahead, Gary.
You ready? My top five Packers quarterbacks of all time. Number five, Don Majkowski. Played with him. Number four, Lynn Dickey. Played with him. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. Didn't play with him. Number two, Brett Favre. I got some people that I know that played with Brett Favre. And number one, Bart Starr, goes without saying. Those are my top five, in order. So we want these people to call in. I want them in order. I just don't want your top five. I want them in order. Five for me, Don Majkowski. Number four, Lynn Dickey. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. number two, Brett Favre, and number one, Bart Starr. How can he not be one?
All right, so that is Gary's top five in Packers history. Plucker is listening to the show again. Plucker, we would like you to make your top five Lions quarterbacks in Lions history.
They don't have five quarterbacks.
Well, not five good ones, maybe, but we'll see what he comes up with. We'll see what happens. So Plucker's going to make his top five Lions quarterbacks in Lions history, and then we'll compare them against our top five and see who comes out with a better list. Obviously, we know, but Scott we'll still compare Mitchell. Them. Because really, I mean, same with the Bears.
Rodney P.
You compare them to the Bears, too. If you compare both of those organizations, that's the main reason why neither one of them have been consistently at the top of the food chain in the NFL, because they haven't been able to get those Hall of Fame-type quarterbacks to lead their organizations. And without those guys, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be able to sustain success without those type of players, Leroy.
Yeah, and again, the millennials, they're going to have Brett Favre at one, and they're going to have Aaron Rodgers at one, and that makes sense, but then they're going to be hard for them to come up with a list, because remember, Brett Favre never missed a game, so you really didn't even know there were backups there. So, you know, so if you do put Aaron Rodgers first, you really wouldn't have a list. So you almost got to do your homework and bring history into it. So once again, my list would always be number one. This is my dream. Stay out of it. I don't like nobody in it unless you was Halle Berry before I got married. Number five would be Lynn Dickey. Lynn Dickey was amazing. Go back. Anybody can throw the ball in the snow. It's the man, okay? And Lynn Dickey, not only did he have the best hair back then, Gary, but Lynn Dickey was a pocket passer that threw it and throwed it where you wanted it to be. Not what the play is two jet, right? All goes back. No! When I put my hand up or I drop my hand, throw it to the back. That was before they were throwing back shoulder, Steve. Lynn Dickey was doing that back then when they would just don't get credit for it. So number four, number seven, Magic Man. Number three, number 12. Number two, number four, which people love to talk about him, good and bad. And number one is the universe. If you guys got the internet, if you're a young person, all you got to do is go back and just look up how good Bart Starr was when he was in these championships, how good he was in these first two Super Bowls. Did he ever put his team in danger? I mean, just manage the game that back then, managing the game means you're dominating the game. Because why would he go into the huddle and say, you know what, we're running a sweep to Jim Taylor to the left, and we're getting 14 yards a pop. Nope, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change the play, and we're going to do a run pass option, and I'm going to pull it and try to throw it to Max McGee. Why do that? Do it what works. So, yeah, that's by far my list. Number five, again, is Lynn Dickey. Number four, Don McCauley. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. Number two, Brett Favre. And number one is the star with two R's.
All right, so there's Leroy's list. Gary's list, Magic at five, Dickey at four. So those two reverse for Leroy. Then the top three, the same. Three, Rodgers, two, Favre, one, star. Again, this website did not list them that way. They had number five being Don McCauley. Number four, Arnie Herber, who played in the 1930s to 1940. Number three, okay. Brett Favre, two, Bart Starr, and one, Aaron Rodgers, Packers of all time. Again, the website is othwisconsin.com. Let's go to Charlotte on the east side. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. Charlotte, who is your top five Packer quarterbacks in history?
I can't really comment about Arnie, but I can tell you right now that trying to rank Lynn Dickey over Don McCauley is terrible, because Lynn Dickey, I was watching him, and he was the best thing on the Packers for so many years. He didn't have the talent that the other three had. And I wouldn't put Bart Starr as one or two simply because he was surrounded by, you know, all-stars. And so I would do Don McCauley, Lynn Dickey, Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Thanks for the call.
So let me get this straight. We're going to punish a guy for being on a good team. So Troy
Aikman. That's what happens to Terry Bradshaw.
And Troy Aikman should be in the Hall of Fame.
Aikman's a
matter of fact. John Elway, give me that last championship. Let me have it. Your first one, let me give it back to me. Because you had Terrell Davis. You had Shannon Sharp. Let me have all. Just give them all back to me.
Yeah, but man, how many Hall of Famers did Elway play with on offense versus star?
Who cares? You don't punish a guy because he's on a good team. How many times will you wish Cincinnati, wish they had a good team? You don't punish guys for being on a great team. You give them credit for that. I don't get that, how that's a talking point for fans.
And that's always a talking point.
Well, it shouldn't be. You should want a guy on a good team that don't mess it up and still can make great plays. I just don't get down with that. I mean, again, that's your list. I don't want to pick apart, but which I just did, which is wrong. I should not do that. But I just don't like that. That's a trigger for me, Gary. When people say, I don't like Troy Aikman because he was with the three. He had the three-headed monster. Troy Aikman still didn't make a lot of mistakes.
But you could make an argument, though, that Dickey probably had the best receivers over
100.
No,
100.
James Lofton, Jefferson, Kaufman.
100%.
Yeah, agreed.
And, yep.
Great point, Gary.
And I'll take it another level. Lynn Dickey's a better quarterback than Troy Aikman was.
I can't do that now because I said don't do that.
You give Lynn Dickey.
You put Lynn Dickey down there with Irv and them and see what he would have did.
With that Hall of Fame offense. That Hall of Fame offensive line in front of him and Emmitt Smith behind him.
And didn't have to throw in the snow.
He'd have a handful. He would have a handful of Super Bowl rings. A handful. Without question.
Sleep on Lynn Dickey.
No, right.
Lynn Dickey was a man, I'm telling you.
No question. All right.
Real quick, I got to do what Gary do, the auxiliary list, but I just, one of the nicest guys to me, one of the nicest guys.
Well, come back later with auxiliary list.
No, I won't even put, I'll do that later, but I just wanted to mention this guy. Anthony Dilwig, to me, was one of the nicest human beings.
Man, stop, man.
I'm just saying, I can't say if a guy's nice.
We ain't going to let you get in on that.
I didn't want to put him on a list. I'm just saying he's a nice guy. Why we can't just, y'all only want to hear if they get arrested.
I'm guessing by this point he's lost all of his hair because he didn't have much when he played.
He's the nicest guy, man.
Balding.
You know how most quarterbacks are, Gary. They don't even want to mingle with people. Unless you fire him. Anthony Dilwig was one of the nicest guys to me that I've ever been around. I want to give him a mention. What's wrong with that? So was Blair Keel.
I knew that was coming. I was just to say, what about Blair Keel, Leroy? But you beat me to it.
Kurt Warner was a great guy. I mean, he played with the Packers.
You didn't even know who Kurt Warner was. Stop.
Yeah, I did. Man, that man helped me put together a baby crib for one of my kids.
One of them ALs, Roy?
Yeah, he helped me put it together. That's not true.
I didn't think so. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellers, and C. Sparky Pfeiffer. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the fan. We'll get Gary's auxiliary list. I'll tell you what my list is.
You know he's got one, Steve.
No question. And Dan Plucker has put together his Lions quarterback list.
If Rodney Pete is not in his top five, I would text message Mitch right now and say we need to replace him.
Will he be able to come up with five quarterbacks? That's the question. We'll find out coming up next. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back, and Detroit Lion running back, should be pointed out for this segment, Gary Ellerson.
You should make Gary do five quarterbacks for Detroit with Plucker.
Well, we'll see, Gary.
I think I played with five of them, Roy.
I doubt you played with
half a season.
Maybe, yeah. Also have.
Three of them for sure. One of Joe Ferguson I played with, Leroy. He was set to start and dropped a weight on his toe and broke his foot.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
You remember Joe Ferguson, right? Joe Ferguson played for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, when he was a Buffalo.
With,
O.J.
Simpson and them, huh?
Yeah, that was a good O.J., boy.
Yeah.
O.J. was true.
Then Chuck Long.
He wasn't that good.
Played with Chuck Long. Chuck Long started Chuck a couple Long. Games.
He's one of the guys that screwed over the Badgers on this Big Ten All-Decade team. We'll talk with Jerry DiNardo coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Right now asking you top five Packers quarterbacks all time. A website, othwisconsin.com, listed Domokowski as five. Number four was Arnie Herber. Three, Brett Favre. Two, Bart Starr. And one, Aaron Rodgers. Gary put Magic, Domokowski at 5, Lindicki at 4, Aaron Rodgers at 3, Brett Favre at 2, and Bart Starr at 1. Leroy Butler had the same list, except for he flipped 4 and 5, Dickey at 5, and Domokowski at 4. Let's go to Bob in Fond du Lac. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
What's
good afternoon,
up,
Bob. What's up, Bob? You there? Somebody's there. We'll put him on hold. Maybe we got the name wrong, or maybe he's busy doing something. All right. My top five list is real simple. It's the exact same as Gary Ellerson's. So that's
really?
That. Yep. Exact same.
In same order?
Same exact order. Yep. No difference whatsoever. I thought it was pretty simple. So, yeah, I'm right with you. Dan Plucker, other side. Top five quarterbacks in Lions history. This should be fun. Okay, let's start at – now, again – he's younger,
he's
so
only 18. America, yeah.
He's younger, he's so this.
I'm older than 18.
This, yeah, he is older than that, but yeah.
I appreciate you guys giving me a chance to talk about a little bit of Lions on the show. With that being said, try not to make too much fun of me.
Okay, number five.
That's the only reason why I would let you do it.
So number five, I got Rodney Pete at the request
Thank
of
you.
Leroy Butler.
Thank you.
Four, I have Greg Landry. Three, I have Scott Mitchell, who Leroy once told me was one of the best quarterbacks he faced in the NFC North. Two, I have Bobby Lane, who is one of two Lions quarterbacks of all time with over 50 starts to have a winning record.
Didn't Bobby Lane play for the Bears?
Let me check.
At some point in his career? Maybe
not. What year Bobby Lane played?
Bobby Lane played back in the 50s.
Bobby Lane was a real deal now.
He started with the Bears. And then
I was right.
Yes,
I got his autograph.
His rookie season. You have his autograph? That's pretty
Bobby
cool.
Bobby Lane's autograph. Okay.
Number one, I have Matthew Stafford. Okay. Just because he has over 41,000 passing yards. The next closest is 15,000 with Bobby Lane. So it's not really close in that department, I don't think. And for fun, I also made a worse list, if you guys want to hear that as well
please,
at some point.
Now, we could do that for the Packers.
It'll make my day.
The Packers top five worst list.
You
we should do that next week.
I ain't doing that with the Packers.
That was my idea. Plucker came up with the idea, not me.
No, let Plucker have it.
Okay, so let me do it because you guys will think this is really funny. Number one, I have I have Joey Harrington. He was the number three overall pick. Was supposed to be the savior and was an absolute bust.
Was.
Number two, I have Jim Ninowski. He had 36 interceptions and 9 touchdowns in 1960-61. He was horrible.
Okay.
Number three, I have John Kitna. Yep. 0-16 record season. That says enough of itself there. Two, I have Milt Plum, who was 87 interceptions and 55 touchdowns, 51% completion, and they kept him at quarterback from 62 to 67. Just not good.
Also been a friend of the Ford family.
That's right.
Okay.
And I think last one, number one, Jeff Comlow, 2-14 record, 23 interceptions and 11 touchdowns in one season.
What's the boy name from Houston, y'all?
Andre
y'all
Ware.
The boy from Houston?
Andre Ware.
He ain't on there?
No, I didn't have him on here.
Andre Ware, that's one of my best friends, too. He was awesome. I think he
was your first round pick?
I think so, yeah. He was highly decorated coming out of college.
Nice guy.
Yeah. All right, let's try Bob in Fond du Lac again and see if he's there. Bob in Fond du Lac, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
What's up, Bob?
All right, I'm done with Bob in Fond du Lac. That's the end of that. Done. All right, let's get
it. It could be our fault, Bob.
Well, let's get an update from CBS News. We'll take more of your ideas on the top five Packers all-time quarterback
list. I got my auxiliary list ready to go, Steve.
Auxiliary list coming up next with Gary Ellerson. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Well, we're going to get to CBS News here in a second, but first let's get to Vin in Waterbury, wherever that is. You're next on The Fan. What's
Waterbury.
Up, Vin?
How's it going, guys? Well, I'm in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. All right,
Vin. Oh, he's in CT. Okay. Connecticut. Yeah, I like Connecticut.
Yeah, that'd be Connecticut, Leroy.
Yeah, my top five is basically the same people, except for the top. It's Domokowski, Len Dickey, Brett Favre. And it's tough for me because I grew up a Favre fan first. I'd put Rodgers second, and I can't see, with history with Bart Starr. I'd put Bart Starr number one anytime.
Right.
So,
agree with you.
Call, guys.
Absolutely. No, no problem. Thanks for the call, man. Have a good fourth.
Steve, how do you think he listened to us out in Connecticut?
Radio.com app, Gary. You can always use that rewind feature on the Radio.com app, Gary Ellerson, and rewind in case you missed anything from earlier in the show. Maybe all the way back to the Bill Michaels show or the Bart Winkler show from earlier this morning or Ryan Horvath from 5 to 6. You can rewind at any point up to 24 hours as time has lapsed to go back and listen to it like it's live radio. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But wait a minute. If you're a Favre fan, why isn't he's second?
Because he's not a complete homer like you.
Whoa.
But how can you put...
Just because you're a fan doesn't mean you put him at one just because you're a fan.
Okay, but sell me on Aaron Rodgers being before Brett.
Doesn't throw nearly as many interceptions. They both have the same amount of Super Bowl rings.
But one's a three-time MVP and already in the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
That don't mean nothing.
What you just asked me to try and sell you. I don't have them in front of my list.
Didn't sell them. You got to give me more.
That's probably the main reason. Doesn't throw as many picks. Doesn't cost his team victories necessarily in the way Brett did. And he has one Super Bowl ring just like Brett.
You say don't call your team.
No.
Don't call the team.
Nope. If you go back and look at postseason games and regular season games, you can just clear as day say, Brett threw three picks in that game and they lost because of him. You can't make that same statement as Aaron Rodgers. You could say,
he didn't just that he didn't throw picks.
To cost him games. And from a fan standpoint, that's how they look at it.
Aaron Rodgers on the, 1-yard line against Seattle?
I know. We all know you hate Aaron Rodgers. Hey. Time for CBS News next. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you. Time now for the Bolford Buzz of the Day.
It's time for the Bolfording Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story. Brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage, 100% natural Bolfording beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
You're never too old to learn something. And I clearly am about to learn something because I had no idea about what we're about to talk about. So the Bolfording Buzz also, I guess, could fit into the breaking news category. Breaking news on The Fan brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Pod Friends. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. And with that breaking news, Dan Plucker, other side of the glass, our executive producer.
Yeah, Jason Reed of ESPN is reporting that the NFL will play Lift Every Voice and Sing, commonly known as the Black National Anthem, before every season opener. It'll happen right before the Star-Spangled Banner, according to Reed.
Okay, nice. So Leroy, you've heard this before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been trying to get this implemented back when I was playing. Back in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
So this has been something going on for a while.
Yeah, it's just behind the scenes. I mean, they've been trying to do it. It's something we sing in church, you know, but it's just something that...
Who made that song? Anybody know?
I have no idea.
I do not know. I'm just trying to find it.
I heard it, how it came, but I don't remember it.
Who or how?
Okay, so this is something I just pulled off of. Something off of YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to find some version of it that we can play so we can understand what this is.
I thought it was performed by one of them angelic choirs, Leroy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you're in church, you know this song very well.
Right.
There's a version of it by Ray Charles on YouTube that I found. This one here, I'm not really committed is this version of it. The group Committed, I guess. Here we go.
Lift every voice and sing to earth heaven. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies resound.
have to play.
Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day, begun us, march on till victory is won.
So there you go. So there is part of the song.
How do you not feel like you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter, well, I don't know, just make up your favorite in the Bible, just start read. That's church.
All right, Dan Plucker, other side of the glass.
Yeah, I got more breaking news in the NBA this time. Breaking news on The Fan, brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Pod. Friends, go listen at radio.com/Dell. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September,
according to
Jackie McMullen.
Can somebody explain to me how Illinois is okay right now?
Now, they,
did I miss something?
They've been in some issues, too. But I think, remember I said some yesterday, they were trying to get the team that were not going to be a part of, do their own thing. This is the start of it.
I guess. But
I don't. You're right. I don't know why they would choose. Maybe they got the facilities for it that we don't know about. Maybe Northwestern can help them out. Them kids,
but I guess I don't. This is what I don't understand. So what I don't understand in all of this second bubble thing that we're talking about
Is
for who? Who's going to watch?
I'm watching.
You're going to watch the Bulls and the Knicks?
Yeah, I'm going to watch.
Come on.
Yeah, I watch. They got fan bases. Like, remember those 13 years you did the post-game show? We still watched, right?
Leroy?
We still watch.
If it was the 15-win season and the season had been stopped, mm-hmm. and then they came back and said, oh, we're going to finish in a second bubble, I don't think anybody would have cared.
I think people are going to watch. I'm telling you, this is unprecedented times, man. People are going to watch. They may not have the viewership of the Big Show or the NBA down there, the 22 teams, but they're going to have enough. If you can get 5 million people to watch The Last Dance and knew about half of what they were about to see, you can see some basketball, okay? So, yeah, put it together.
They're just hoping that the NBA has been gone so long that people tune in because they got nothing else to do.
They're trying to get local TV money.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that's what it's all about. Because nobody's watching that. Well, Plucker, are you going to watch your Pistons?
Steve. You don't know that.
No, I will not.
He will.
No, out.
I guarantee you, if it's a Wednesday, he's going to watch at 7 o'clock. He's going to be watching.
And he'll flip it on, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's going to watch it.
So most
and come on and get excited.
Furthermore, because you're going to go play this
drumming jersey.
Because you're going to go play the stupid game, it's going to affect draft status and lottery standings. Because you're going to go play. If I'm coming back
sanctioned by the NBA.
And if I'm coming back and playing, hey, star player, you don't need to come. You're good. Don't worry about it. We got it. We'll play without you. Because I'm not trying to win. I'm trying to get
a
better draft pick at this point.
Playing.
I'm trying to get a better draft pick. I'm not trying to win some meaningless games here at the end of the year.
Well, and if I'm a player, why am I going?
Exactly! Why are you going?
This is why you're going. First, ain't y'all the same fan to say guys should play for the love of the game? Now they're doing it and y'all still mad.
When did I say that?
No, fans. Not you, but fans. They say all that play for the love of the game. We took calls on it. But my thing is, a lot of people... Yeah, we did. A lot of people didn't like that 3-on-3 thing when all players were playing. They had a huge following before this pandemic. They were touring around making a bunch of money. People didn't know if they were going to see old players playing. Matter of fact, Steve, you wanted Joe Johnson to play. He was one of the best guys.
He's still out there. They can still have him.
That's what I'm saying. So create another avenue for somebody to make some cash. So people need to figure out a way to do it in a safe way, where you can get this revenue stream back up and running. That's why I'm advocating for the Brewers to sell 500 more cutouts for more charity.
Yeah, they
sold out already.
They sold that thing out in 2 hours this morning.
Yeah,
so
we need to find 500 more, cuz I need to get my pitch up there. I missed out on it because I had an issue with one of the girls.
Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, the Wendy's Big Show. Up next, one of our favorites returns to the Big Show.
The
Coach Jerry DiNardo next on the Wendy's Big Show. When 90s Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here.
Pfeiffer dog.
Gary Ellerson over there at his house. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from the Big Ten Network, former college football head coach, our favorite, Coach Jerry DiNardo. Coach, thanks for coming on, man.
Good to be with you. I'm a little nervous, but good to be with you.
Why are you nervous? Hey, no need to be nervous with us.
Yeah, I do with this, you know, this all-decade team, you know. I just, you know, I tell everybody at the network, Howard Griffith is the director of player personnel at the Big Ten Network. I mean, he's the guy. I'm just floundering around here in life. I'm worried about the questions. I'm worried I won't be able to answer them. I'm going to fall short. I've got no confidence. Having said that, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're safe.
Hey, man, I before we get all this, I got to quickly just say something. So I was just down in Indianapolis. When was it, Gary? Last weekend.
Yes.
And I was setting Gary pictures. Indianapolis is probably one of my favorite towns, if not my favorite town. And I've been going down there for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And I just think there's a personality about it. It's like it feels alive when you're down there mulling around downtown Indianapolis with all the great restaurants and bars and outdoor sitting areas and all the ways to get around inside and all the stores and everything. It's just, it is probably my favorite town. And I think Gary would agree it's one of his favorite as well. We always talk about it. And I went down there for dinner on last Thursday night, so a week ago tonight. And I was absolutely just taken aback and shocked at what I saw, Coach DiNardo. I mean, it is just boarded up from the looting, I guess, that happened and people smashing windows and everything else. I ended up sitting outside at Giordano's on the patio looking at a boarded up TJ Maxx across the street. That was my view for dinner. And there was like nobody walking around downtown Indianapolis.
You know, my daughter lives there. In fact, she's coming down here with us on Saturday. She's been locked in for a long time. She lives, it's not Jackson Square. What's the square? Jackson Square is in New Orleans.
Yeah, the middle, the main circle. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she lives right off that, and you know, they've enjoyed living there, and but I know it's taken a beating and all that kind of stuff, and you know, hey, you know, progress is painful sometimes, and it certainly has been. So it'll come back. I'll say this, Sparky Gary. It's a great place for that championship game and any other sporting event.
Yeah, agreed.
Because
yeah.
You drive there, you park your car, and you never have to get back in your car until you drive it home.
Yep.
I mean, it's a right. walk, it's a cab, it's a great, great event town, in my opinion. But
yep.
hopefully they'll fix whatever damage has been done.
And the ability to get traffic in and out of that town so smoothly, the way they do it, is just as impressive from a fan standpoint, I think. Okay, so this all-decade team, let's start with our number one beef on this all-decade team. So when we think all-decade team, it's 2010 and 2019, and Coach DiNardo was part of it, but there's a bunch of people. There's like 20 or 30 people that voted on this thing. So at running back, the first team was Saquon Barkley, along with Jonathan Taylor. The second team, Melvin Gordon was a part of, but there was no Monty Ball, who had a ton of touchdowns and everything else throughout his career at Wisconsin and so forth. So I guess the thing for us was, trying not to speak too much for Gary here, is, you know, those guys that were in college for 3-4 years and put up all those big numbers, should they take more precedence over a guy like Saquon Barkley, who wasn't there maybe as long?
Well, you know, maybe. I think style of offense impacts people voting, you know, and so Penn State's got a drastically different offense when Saquon was there than Wisconsin. The other thing, realistically, you know, when you're filling out that ballot, and man, it's hard, and you already have two Wisconsin guys on it, you know, I know you're not supposed to think about the teams and all that. You know, Sparky, Gary, it's just so hard to do stuff like that for me. It really is. One of the things that drives me crazy about the media business is when someone says, you know, he's the best right guard in the country. Really? You've watched every right guard in the country 4 or 5 games on coach's tape. That's how you came to the decision. And so when we throw around the best and the old decade and all that, you know, I don't know what to say. It's just, it's too hard to do. It's an exercise that is not perfect and too hard to do.
So, and that, my question was, had they ever done this before, or is this the first time for this?
Well, you know, for the network, I think we're going into our 14th year, and I don't know if it was because of COVID that they were planning on doing it, you know, because everybody was looking for digital content and trying to figure out a way, you know, to keep the doors open and all that. You know, I don't know. I don't ever remember doing it. And really, unless I study guys on coaches tape, you know, I hate getting into a lot of personnel discussions. I mean, you watch Jonathan Taylor, obviously. I mean, if you're talking about the best running back, he has to be in the conversation, right? I mean, anybody can see that. But when you start comparing all of these great ones, I thought Ezekiel Elliott, without Ezekiel Elliott, Ohio State doesn't win a national championship. I mean, right. It's not even close. Ohio State hasn't had a tailback like Ezekiel Elliott, you know, and I give Urban a lot of credit because he was really an eye running back, but they found ways to give him the ball with his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage with a running start that even gave him a better advantage than if he was a tailback in the eye formation. So, you know, I honestly, I don't remember who I voted for. I mean, I could go back and look at it. It's so mind-boggling to me. But, you know, if what they did with Ezekiel in that spread, I know we're not talking about him. I mean, that was impressive.
No, I would agree with you, too, with Ezekiel Elliott. I didn't even think about him at running back. I mean, how did he – yeah, that's a good one to probably have on the list as well. But, you know what, here's where I do think, though, because of where we are in the times – This all-decade team really got a lot of chirp, maybe because there's not a lot going on, and then all of a sudden it happens, and people are kind of glued to it.
But Gary, plus, you know, Jim Delaney, when he started the Big Ten Network, he intensified the regionality of the sport. College football is not a national sport. None of us can name who's in the Atlantic and the Coastal, or all of them. Nobody knows who. If you got an A in geography, you certainly can't do the Pac-12 because they're not geographically sound. I was at Vanderbilt, we went to 12 schools, and we were west of Auburn. And, you know, I'm in there with John Majors and Pat Dye and Gene Stallings. I'm 30-something years old from New York. I'm not about to raise my hand and say, fellas, I'm west of Auburn. Why am I in the east? And so what Delaney did with the Big Ten Network, there wouldn't be a Big Ten all-decade team, right, if we didn't have the resource of the Big Ten Network. And so that's why I think this is something that everybody has paid attention to and everybody has an opinion about, and there's a lot of disagreement.
You know, the other thing, too, we look at what came out today. A defensive line came out today. Joey Bosa, Ohio State. Chase Young, Ohio State. Ryan Kerrigan at Purdue. And, of course, J.J. Watt at Wisconsin. I think of all the groups, probably the defensive line might be the strongest of all the groups. That is a very good top four defensive line, I think, representative of what this conference was all about for that decade. Those are all four really, really good football players.
And that was recent. That is the SEC model. I mean, the Big Ten has taken a lot of things from the SEC. Conference games in September instead of packing them all and not having a good TV menu early in the year. Defensive line and line play. You know, the SEC, you know, that's why they have dominated college football, because of the defensive linemen and how they play defense. And so that's a very positive recent development, that the Big Ten has had such good defensive linemen in the last decade, or that decade and on to the future. And obviously a lot of them have come out of Ohio State, and that's why they've been in the national championship picture year in and year out. If you can rush the passer with four and you can play man and zone behind it and add a linebacker and all that stuff, I mean, you know, especially in the day of the spread, I mean, you're onto something on defense if you can do that.
Time with Coach DiNardo of the Big Ten Network here on the Wendy's Big Show. Now, from the strongest, I think maybe the weakest, and surprising to a certain degree, the wide receiver position, it's Allen Robinson from Penn State, who is obviously very good, and then Tyler Johnson just recently of Minnesota. Those are the two that made it for the all-decade team out of the Big Ten. And you start thinking about where these wide receivers are coming from into the NFL, from around football. Maybe there's not as many coming from the Big Ten as maybe there used to be back in the day when Wisconsin had Chambers and Donald Hayes and Lee DeRamus and Lee Evans and all those guys that were coming out. Wisconsin had a pipeline of wide receivers in the NFL. Maybe the Big Ten is taking a big bit of a hit at that position.
Well, it might change in the next decade, team, because remember, the years that you described, Sparky, how many teams were in the spread when that started, right?
Not
so
very
many receivers are on the field.
Right.
Right. So there's not that many receivers on the field. Now, the next decade, it'll probably be a more competitive group to pick. But, you know, for the first half of that decade, you had a Z and an X, and that was it. You know, nowadays, you know, there's tight ends that you can consider wide receivers. They're split out so much, and there's three wides and four wides, and you've got empty sets, and you've got more and more teams running the spread. I mean, who's left in the I formation? Wisconsin, Iowa, is that it? Michigan State now with Mark on, probably not. You know, Michigan's kind of in the I disguised as the spread. I mean, but, you know, P.J. Fleck, you know, without the RPO and without Kurt Schiraka, you know, they're not a ranked team. They could have the same exact personnel, but without that RPO game and the spread, they're not going to be ranked.
Coach, your best guess, and I know it's a fluid situation, that we have college football this year in some sort of form or fashion.
I'll be shocked if we don't have college football. What it's going to look like, you know, I mean, obviously, Gary, nobody knows that. I'll tell you what, I wasn't very confident a few months ago, and then I got really confident, and then when you know, basically we let our guard down or literally let our mask down, I mean, we as a population have made a lot of mistakes, you know. We didn't hang with it, in my opinion. And so if everybody loves the game, put a mask on, stay 6 feet from one another, and don't do anything foolish. But because the people are going to decide about college football, you know, and a lot of them are young people doing stuff, you know. So I didn't mean to get off on the tangent, but
no, that's what it is.
I know it's so frustrating. It's so right. Frustrating because it's not just about you, right? It's about who you're talking to. You're not in a bubble. You impact other people's health and other people's lives. It's just incredible how we don't think more like that. Maybe no non-conference, you know, schools. I've heard Purdue's plan. I've heard Notre Dame's plan. You know, finishing the semester at Thanksgiving, which, you know, then they're going to have a problem bringing the athletes back, because if they think the regular students are better protected by going straight through, no fall breaks, and going through from, say, the last week of August to Thanksgiving and not coming back so they don't go home and come back, then how do we say it's okay for the athletes to come back? That's a little touchy situation, especially as it relates to basketball, because they'll probably just be getting into their practice and into their season. So a lot of different things. But to answer your question, I'll be shocked if we don't have it. I just wish I knew more what it was going to look like.
Yeah, and that was my question, too, because you talked about Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has got that big game against Wisconsin up at Lambeau Field. And that thing is pretty much sold out, but you're right, no one knows. And we were talking about non-conference, and that's a non-conference game, but that's a pretty big game for both programs.
I know, and me and my wife are sleeping in separate rooms until that game's over, because we graduated from the opposite schools. And so it caused us some natural social distancing. But that's not an early non-conference game, though, right? That's
correct.
October.
October.
Mm-hmm. October. Yep.
Right.
So I mean, so look at the glass half full instead of half empty. You know, if it was the last week of August, the first week of September, mm-hmm. you know, that'd be the first. You know, why do all that, guys? You know, just like businesses. Like I talked to my nephew who works in New York City. You know, they haven't been. They haven't commuted. Their company hasn't commuted into the city since whatever, and their numbers are better than they were a year ago. You know, they're not going to spend $300,000 on rent as we go forward after everybody's healthy. So we're going to see all these kind of changes. Like, no hotels Friday night, you know, stay at home and drive if it's a reasonable distance. I mean, you know, Michigan State, you know, they're not going to have hotels in opposite places. Wisconsin, Northwestern, I mean, why would you drive down the day before and spend the night in a hotel in Chicago when you can spend your night in your regular home, safe, and then just drive down to the game?
Coach, I can't speak for what college is going to do, but I can tell you from a youth baseball perspective right now, ours is a 13-year-old in youth baseball. We just traveled, like I said, down to Indianapolis for a youth baseball tournament, so those hotels were filled. Now we're going to Iowa in 2 weeks, Bettendorf, Iowa. Those hotels are completely all sold out to the point that we're staying in Moline, Illinois instead with hotels. There was just an article on Myrtle Beach, South Carolina yesterday about how it is exploding with COVID-19 cases in teens. Why? Because all these youth baseball teams are coming from all over the country to go play in tournaments in Myrtle Beach, and it's spreading amongst everybody.
Right, but if you could avoid that and still play, you would do it, right?
I would hope so.
I don't know who's in Right, so, I mean, again, you don't, if you're Northwestern or Wisconsin and you're the visiting team, this year you stay home because of COVID, and next year you stay home because it's cheaper. And we won the game last year by staying at home. Why would we want to do anything else? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, this is, we're all going to do different things. We're all going to do things differently than we've done them, than we were doing them before COVID, and it's all going to be based on money, especially these athletic departments, because they're going to lose their shirt this year, and they're going to try to make part of it back in 2021.
He is the coach, Jerry DiNardo, of the Big Ten Network, former college football head coach, of course, back in the day. Coach, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it, and hopefully we weren't too mean to you on the Big Ten All-Decade Team.
No, I tried to talk as long as I could to not have any more All-Decade Teams. So my answers were a little bit long, so I apologize. Good being with you, Jerry. And Smart,
sure.
You guys take care. Stay safe.
Take care. Thank you,
yeah.
Coach.
Stay safe, Coach. There he is, Coach Jerry DiNardo on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's your passion now growing your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Yes, Gary.
I didn't give you my auxiliary list.
All right, Gary, go ahead.
Can I do it after the break, or can I do it now?
You can just do it now. We'll just do it now. I'll change some stuff around while you talk. Go ahead.
All right. Number five, Matt Flynn. Number four, Randy Wright. Number three, Babe Parilli.
I said nothing about Babe Parilli.
Yeah. Number two, Ernie Herber.
Come on.
And number one, the great ghost of Gonzaga, Tony Canadeo. There it is. That's my auxiliary.
All I'm going to say is
what the?
That it's a crying shame that you got that list, and there is no Matt Hasselbeck and no Mark Brunell on that list of five auxiliary because they were never given the opportunity to start.
Right.
In the regular season. Great preseasons, but never given the opportunity to truly start in the regular season.
Well, you can make yours.
Oh, God. No.
Do how you want to do it.
I listening to yours was depressing enough. I don't need to make another list of five. Once you get past, once you get past the top five that we talked about, it kind of all kind of goes downhill after that. There's really not a great second five. In other top fives we've done, you know, top five sitcoms and stuff, there's always a really good next five. Like, oh, man, these three were right there, but couldn't get in.
Steve, look these guys up.
None of those guys are, Herber, I didn't see play.
Tony Canadeo is a Hall of Famer. Herber is a Hall of Famer.
I guess. Yeah,
Talking about?
Maybe, I guess. Canadeo wasn't even mentioned by anybody in this entire run.
Because they don't know Packer football.
Oh, no, because they're not that old to have seen anything on any of these guys. Here's one, Charlie. My top five, who I would drink beer with. Number five, Lynn Dickey. Do you want to have a beer with Lynn Dickey? Number four, Jim McMahon. Number three is impossible, Bart Starr. Number two, the Magic Man. And number one, Brett Favre. I think everybody probably is on board with Brett Favre. Would probably be the first guy you'd want to go have a beer with.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Not Aaron Rodgers, for sure.
No. Not for me, at least. Mike tweets at the fan his top five. Number five, Makowski. Four, Dickey. Three, Rogers. Two, Brett. One, Star. I think that's the five. And you said it first, and that's why I said that that makes the most sense. And really, don't get me wrong, I like Makowski. But that one run that they had, that cardiac pack year, where they got on a run and had to sit there and watch Monday Night Football to see if they were in the playoffs or not, that was the year that really kind of put Makowski over the top and on the map at that point.
Oh, yeah.
That really separated. Because, I mean, again, he's not a Hall of Famer. And you said Arnie Herber is a Hall of Famer?
I think he is. Look him up.
I'm not going to doubt you. I'm not.
Google Arnie Herber.
Arnie, not Ernie, Arnie
yeah,
Herber.
Arnie.
Well, what I know is a Hall of Famer are J&J Contractors. Now, they are Hall of Famers when it comes to doing some remodeling in your house, maybe building that outdoor oasis. Yeah. Hall of Famers, J&J Contractors.
Yeah, a lot of people come to me and talk to me about my good friends over at J&J Contractors, our former boss over there, Tom Parker. He said, Gary, I think I want to add a new bathroom into my house. I said, hey, call my good friend Jason at J&J Contractors. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer went to Big Time. Hey, want to do something in my basement? Hey, call my good friends over at J&J Contractors. They can come over and help you build out that livable space and give you some ideas or what they should look like, how they should go, and try to create some more room for the children. Steve's having another baby. Now they got three boys. They all don't want to be together. At least we can loosen some up, put another TV down there, and they can have somewhere to go. Made it happen. Spark Dog said, hey, why don't we do something outside? I can start enjoying outside a little bit. Well, they created that outdoor oasis. My good friends at J&J Contracts can do that and so much more, guys. If you have a dream, they can make your dream come true. Call my good friends today and ask for Jason at J&J Contractors.
Coming up on the other side, some news out of the NBA today. They sent out a release to the media talking about how many players have tested positive for COVID-19 upon entering their markets and their facilities as they get ready to head to Orlando. If you haven't heard those numbers, stay tuned. That's next on the Wendy's Big Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.